Welcome in, podcast listeners. Today's best of, the same as it has been during all of Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones only. If you want the rest of the show and not Game of Thrones, then go download the other podcast, which will feature everything but the Game of Thrones. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio. Enjoy the Game of Thrones talk.
Hey, stick to sports, guy. Stop bitching. We'll get right back to sports in a few minutes.
This is different.
Right now it's Outkick the Thrones, a GOT recap. Call our studio lines now with your reaction and theories from around the country at 877-996-6369. That's 877-99-ON-FOX.
Everyone knows that I am a huge Game of Thrones fan, and that I have been waiting, like many of you out there listening right now, for Season 8 for a year and a half, 18 months, with bated breath. I couldn't wait for Season 1 of Episode 8, Episode 1 of Season 8. I couldn't wait for 2, 3, 4. They are slowly driving me insane with this season. There are so many things that aren't working at all, but I feel like the perfect metaphor for this disaster of a season so far that has unfulfilled all of my expectations. The only person more disappointed than me about any life choice that they've made was my wife deciding to marry me, because I've never lived up to any of her expectations either. And a lot of you men out there are doing the exact same thing in your marriages as well. Congratulations to your wives. They did not outkick their coverage. They had a Starbucks cup on the table during a Game of Thrones scene. They don't even let this happen on FS1. If we are sitting there with cups like a Starbucks cup, they would come running by and say, hey, we got to get this off the screen. Yet, I have no idea how many times they have watched this show, how many people they have working on the show, hundreds, if not thousands of people, and nobody notices that there is a Starbucks cup on the table in the celebration scene after the Battle of Winterfell last night. Where does this rank on the fireable offense scale? Where does leaving a cup, a Starbucks cup, it appears, at a minimum a coffee cup, on the table during the filming of this scene rank in terms of egregious errors? This is like allowing the clock to run out without being able to run another play from the goal line. I mean, to me, this is a error of enormous magnitude. And of course, you know every frame is going to be scrutinized. So I don't even understand how this is possible to begin with, that nobody would have noticed it. But to make it all the way through editing and not have anyone notice it is even more egregious.
In their defense, it's a very dark scene where everyone is drinking. So that's all I can think of.
Were they actually drunk? I mean, this is...
Yeah, I keep looking at this scene because there's still shots from Reddit. And we know now Daenerys is a coffee fan because you zoom in on the cup. It says Emilia on it. So,
so it even has her name on it?
No, I'm making that up.
Oh, that would be unbelievable.
You can't see, you know, you can't see the name on the cup, but you could tell it's a Starbucks cup.
I mean, they wouldn't allow this to happen on Lock It In. I'm not saying that we have an infallible record. We screw up a lot of stuff. But on live television, as anybody who's ever done live television will attest. But if there were a coffee cup on the counter before one of our shots in Vegas, which is a little bit hectic, we have four or five people who are working on the set then, and any one of them would have immediately noticed it and grabbed it and not allowed it to be on the set unless they were advertising with us or it was an intentional decision. This is an egregious error, and I understand it's a small thing, but to me it just kind of personifies the overall weakness of Season 8 so far. And there are a bunch of things I want to dive into, 877-996-6369. But I want to start here. You have, in Bran Stark, the Three-Eyed Raven, a scout of the greatest and utmost importance in the history of warfare. He can go into a bird and fly anywhere in the Seven Kingdoms and let you know everything that is going on in real time. Right? This is something that could easily take place. Yet, we don't have him using that ability at all. And as a result, Daenerys Targaryen rolls down to Stormborn and instead of being able to take her two dragons there and have them sort of rest and recharge their batteries. One of them gets killed by Euron Greyjoy. Where does failing to use Bran Stark for reconnaissance rank on the dumbest decisions ever? Like, I want to make this clear. They could easily have traveled with Bran Stark, who they have left at Winterfell for no reason. Bran is the three-eyed raven. He could be with Daenerys and her crew traveling to her homeland, right, to Dragonstone, or whatever that place is called, so that they can be able to hang out there while they wait to go attack Cersei. And then he could be with the army and have his ravens fly over King's Landing and look around and be able to know exactly what is going on inside of King's Landing. Instead, he's just sitting by himself in King's Landing. I don't understand it. Is this driving anyone else crazy that it's just a logical fallacy? If you had take away, and people say, well, it's a fantastical show, there are dragons, everything. Yes, I understand that. But there needs to be realism associated with the magic. Best practitioner of magical realism in the history of literature, Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Okay? He was a huge proponent, Nobel Prize winning, great author. Gabriel Garcia Marquez, 100 Years of Solitude, maybe one of the greatest books, not maybe, one of the greatest books to ever be written in the history of fiction. If you had a character in Gabriel Garcia Marquez who could look ahead and see current reality and he didn't use it, you would say that's a narrative flaw. Bran is the three-eyed raven. He could travel and use the ravens to be like, hey, Daenerys, Euron Greyjoy is sitting here and he has all of these ships manned with dragon killers. So don't just come around the corner and get killed by them. Or maybe fly higher up in the sky so they can't be reached, or let your ships be the lead so you don't risk your dragons. So this is just absurd in and of itself. This is driving me insane. Is it driving anyone else insane? Open floor.
Yeah, because not just creepy Bran, but couldn't Dany have taken her dragons ahead and flown above the clouds for some recon? There's absolutely no military intelligence going on with Team Dany.
The dragons are one of the most poorly utilized resources in many poorly utilized resources from an army tactical perspective and how these groups are fighting. And so that is my number one complaint about Game of Thrones. There's no reason for her to be flying in a visible area where the dragons can just get shot by anybody. So we think one dragon is now dead. We're down to one dragon. And somehow, by the way, the dragon survived. The second dragon did, despite the fact that he made a full-on charge at the ships and managed to avoid all of the perfectly aimed attackers that got the first dragon. So I didn't buy into that. But again, Bran is the solution here. Travel with Bran. Have him with the ravens flying ahead. He could have come back and been like, hey, Euron Greyjoy has moved his ships and is waiting for you. Maybe don't fly the dragons right in front of him. Or maybe go high in the sky. If you had Bran as reconnaissance, come down behind Euron Greyjoy and burn down all of his ships because he wouldn't have seen you coming from that direction. Just an idea. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines. We will break down Game of Thrones season 8, episode 4 that just aired last night. We are rolling here on Outkick the Coverage Monday edition. Appreciate you spending it with us.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. We're breaking down last night's Game of Thrones episode. Here are my additional concerns. In addition to the fact that Bran should be the perfect reconnaissance operative, we should know everything. We should never have a situation where a dragon gets killed like that. Jon Snow tells Sansa and Arya and swears them to say they will never tell anyone else. Did he really believe that they were going to keep that secret? So immediately Sansa tells Tyrion and Varys, which means that everybody is going to know about Jon Snow's parentage. So that in and of itself is an utter ridiculousness of this story that John believes they're going to keep his confidence. John leaves, doesn't even give Ghost like goodbye rub, leaves Tormund, leaves Sam and Gilly as he heads down south. I don't know. I'm not an expert on mapping, but it seems to me that Game of Thrones has a serious time issue because we have a scenario where Daenerys can get on a boat and go all the way back to Dragonstone without having and lose a dragon and have a war council meeting and then travel all the way to see Cersei before Jon Snow and the rest of the army can actually get there. And then we have that ridiculous scene outside of King's Landing where Cersei is standing on the ramparts and Tyrion basically is convinced that he can convince her that she's not a bad person. And every time she proves him wrong when he has these gallant soliloquies about appealing to her better nature, we might have a little bit of a Maury Povich situation here, by the way, where Tyrion is letting Euron Greyjoy, if he's actually intelligent at all, realize that Jaime is actually the father, not him, of Cersei's baby. Because how else would Tyrion know about the fact that she was pregnant given how long ago he left? But that is still neither here nor there. Instead, Cersei is standing on the ramparts. They have Missandei's head cut off, and so we get another decapitation. But why at that point in time does Cersei not just attack Daenerys and kill Tyrion and try and wipe out the rest of Daenerys' army as well as the dragon that's remaining? She has all these dragon slaying weapons and she has an opportunity to just wipe them out completely. And instead she is just, Cersei just theoretically lets him leave. I don't understand that either. Cersei has shown that she is entirely untrustworthy. You have a portion of the army arrayed before you. You have the opportunity to kill your traitorous dwarf brother. And instead, you just kill one person and allow them to leave. She should have, at a minimum, rained down holy hell on them with her weaponry from the battlements of the castle. So I don't understand that decision. I also don't understand why Jaime Lannister suddenly gets mad and leaves and gives this big speech about how he's an awful human being again. Why was he motivated to suddenly leave? I don't understand it. There were so many flaws and just narrative-based errors in this episode. Now, I did think this episode was the best of the four so far, but I still just don't think season eight's that good. And if you have a year and a half to work on the script, if you have a year and a half to get everything perfect, and it's still this bad, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why this story so far through four of the six episodes has been pretty much unfulfilling. I think this is the worst season of Game of Thrones so far, in my opinion, and I say that as someone who really, really likes the show. What were your primary takeaways, Danny G? Start with you.
Yeah, well, I'll pick up where you left off there. I think Jaime jetted on Brienne like that because she seemed clingy immediately.
No. I don't buy that.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you from my point of view because that's what I would have done. Girl, I got to go to work.
Yeah, I understand that. But Jaime gives this ridiculous speech. And I don't even – I understand when characters – and this may be the fact that in addition to a law degree, I've got a master's in fine arts in fiction and nonfiction writing, right? So I taught creative writing at Vanderbilt University in another part of my life. So I am a big fan of stories and the way that stories are told, right? So I understand pivot points. I understand epiphanies. I understand character arcs and how they develop. But there has to be some basis for which it occurs. And there is absolutely no basis for that to occur here. All we have happen is Jaime finds out about Euron Greyjoy's attack on Daenerys. And suddenly we have that moment where Arya says, Sansa says, what's her exact line? She basically is saying, I had hoped that I was going to be able to watch Cersei be killed. And I don't really understand why. I always wanted to be there when they execute your sister. Seems like I won't get the chance, Sansa says, as she tells Jaime about the Euron Greyjoy attack. And then suddenly everything changes for Jaime. But he already knew that they wanted to march down to King's Landing and kill Cersei and sweep her off the Iron Throne. Why does he illogically suddenly change his decision to stay at Winterfell? And he says, "You think I'm a good man. I pushed a boy out of a tower window, crippled him for life for Cersei. I strangled my cousin with my own hands just to get back to Cersei. I would have murdered every man, woman, and child in River Run for Cersei. She's hateful, and so am I." So what suddenly ends the Jaime Lannister redemption tour, which, by the way, includes him sliding in and stealing Lady Brienne away from Tormund, and also poor Gendry drops the one knee and tries to propose to Arya and just gets shot down. But at least he's got a better end than Jorah Mormont, who was the worst friend zone of all time. And Daenerys ends up burning his body to end the episode. So I don't understand why Jaime's decision suddenly alters.
Yeah, there was a lot of C-blocking going on in this episode when Arya was like, "Yeah, you'll make a great lord for somebody else." Because what'd she say? "I'm not a lady like that."
Not a lady, yeah.
Yeah, so that also Bronn finally showing up with a crossbow.
Yeah. That went exactly as you would anticipate, him getting an even better argument.
Arya
says, "You'll be a wonderful lord, and any lady will be lucky to have you. But I'm not a lady. I never have been. That's not me." And then she leaves Gendry, who is now a lord, at least, high and dry. Dub, what jumped out to you about this episode?
A few things really jumped out that we've already touched on. Bran, of course, I mean, he is a rolling history book, okay? He knows everything. He is your greatest asset, your greatest tool. And what has he even done this season? I mean, he really has not done anything. And I was going into the season thinking he would be probably the most integral part of this whole storyline. And he really hasn't done anything.
He's creepy. Otherwise, like, he can see everything currently happening anywhere. He's the ultimate eye in the sky. And yet you don't use him at all. And you leave him behind in Winterfell to do what? He doesn't want to be the Lord of Winterfell Manor. The Night King has no interaction with him and is suddenly dead. And by the way, we get no mention, hardly at all, of the Night King. I don't even know if he was mentioned other than maybe Arya saying she killed him. So that storyline just disappears. And yeah, Bran leaving, being left behind, is utterly frustrating.
Secondly, the meeting at King's Landing at the Wall between Cersei and Daenerys.
Yes.
I agree with you. I was 1,000,000% sure that she was about to just end all of Dany's dragons.
Unleash everything that you have at a minimum there, and you could kill Tyrion. I thought she was going to kill Tyrion right then and there. Instead, another B-level character. And I understand some people like Missandei, but she's basically less significant than Jorah. In the grand scheme of things, she has not meant that much to this show. So we have no major character actually dying. Instead of Cersei sending a message here, she could have actually attacked Daenerys. Instead, we get this, I get it, sort of this interesting mirroring between Cersei and Daenerys, and we realize maybe there's not that much difference between the two of them after all. That's certainly the trajectory we're headed towards, with Varys and Tyrion talking about who would be the better leader on the Iron Throne. But this was just, I mean, again, Cersei has shown that she will be absolutely diabolical when it comes to retaining power. And yet she did nothing when she could have there.
Yeah, it was totally out of character for her. I mean, she has about a dozen of those dragon-killing crossbows just lined up on the wall, and they're just going to stand there and not use them?
And by the way, eventually they're going to cover the dragon in armor, right? I mean, that's the natural response here for episode 5 and 6, is when they actually have the attack that occurs at King's Landing. I bet the dragon is going to be covered in armor, meaning that all of those spears are just going to bounce off of him. That's my prediction, that Gendry is going to get brought to bear as the Iron Mason again, and he's going to design some sort of chainmail, battle cat style. If you watched He-Man back in the day, remember Battle Cat had some armor on him. I think we're going to get a battle cat version of the dragon.
Yeah, and Danny G touched on it just a second ago, the scene With Bronn busting in with the crossbow with Tyrion and Jaime.
A lot of great lines there, but it's almost exactly what we would have anticipated.
I mean, I that was maybe the most enjoyable scene I've had so far this season. And then one other thing, Podrick. I mean, he is low-key one of the best characters in the show. In the background of the celebration following the war, I mean, you see him. He's got a honey on each arm, and he knows exactly what he's about to do with them. We know all about his explorations with the ladies from seasons past and how much they enjoy him. So I thought that was another funny bit.
Anything else that we haven't hit on yet, Roberto?
No, you guys pretty much touched it all. But you said, why this, why this, why that, Clay? There's two more episodes left, Clay. That's why.
No, but I mean, in narrative, this is just awful to me. Yeah. You know that 50 million, 40 million, whatever it is, people are going to be watching. How do you not have a better script than this? How do you not have some sort of logical consistency?
Yeah, I agree with
all?
You on a lot of the stuff
and
that you said.
Again, last season, there was a lot of time and space mismanagement, I thought, in terms of how things were able to happen. I don't understand, again, how Jon Snow is not able to get to King's Landing in this amount of time. Meanwhile, Daenerys can go all the way to her land, get a dragon killed, have a war council meeting, and travel all the way to King's Landing, and Jon's still not there. Eights, I'll take your calls next. Your calls reacting to Game of Thrones, final segment, hour two. We do it every single Monday during season eight. Two more weeks of this on Monday in hour two. 877-996-6369. Your reactions, your questions.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios, reacting to Game of Thrones. A lot of you want to hop in. Let's go to the calls. Dub, roll through them.
All right, Jeff in Indiana.
Jeff in Indiana. I swear to God. Has Jeff been captured by aliens?
It sounds like it. Let's try Hunter in Indiana.
Hunter in Indiana.
Hunter.
Right?
Yes.
You got me, Clay.
I got you.
All right, yeah, I'm with you, man. Brunn is a complete waste. I have no idea how he just sits there and doesn't do anything. And none of the other people seem to be pissed at him or anything, which is another thing that blows my mind.
Yeah, it's like you're leaving Michael Jordan on the bench.
Exactly.
I don't understand it.
The only thing they got right so far in this season is the script for Tormund. I think they've nailed
it. Yes.
He's become a crowd favorite.
Yeah,
and one more thing before I go. I got you at minus 220 against Portnoy.
I would crush that dude. I mean, he's a little man.
I know.
I would beat his ass.
He has zero athleticism.
Zero athleticism. I would beat his ass. I got to say this in general about the about Tormund. He's been fantastic. And I think Bronn has too. It's like the writers are in handcuffs for everybody else. The characters that actually matter and are doing something than adding flavor, it's like they're worthless. With the possible exception of Arya, I just don't agree with the logic of anybody else. And I'm not talking about, hey, they're making bad decisions and I understand how their choices are being made. I mean that the story doesn't make sense. Who's up next?
We got Robert in New York.
Robert in New York. What you got for me?
Hey, good morning. Happy Monday, my man. Yo, I'm telling you, you should be writing the show. Because I gave up seasons ago. I just didn't keep up with all the characters, everybody they were bringing in. And it's so funny that you mentioned that armor thing, because I did watch the episode where the first dragon killed, and I'm like, why don't they just put armor on?
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't make sense. And I'll tell you something, your summary clarified more than 10 minutes of the show has in 10 years.
Thanks. I love when people are giving me compliments. I just wish their cell phone worked better. I got to say, I know that I don't lack for confidence. I would be better writing Game of Thrones. If you had given me a year and a half and you had said, instead of doing 3 hours of daily radio, instead of doing daily television, instead of doing your Periscopes and your Facebooks and writing a book and writing all the articles that you did, all you have to do is go into like a hermetically sealed kingdom, right? All you have to do is produce 6 scripts for Game of Thrones. I think I could have produced 6 better scripts than what has been produced so far by the writers. I'm not even kidding about that. I think I could have produced a better ending of Game of Thrones than what we have seen through the first 4 episodes of season 8. And I obviously do not lack for confidence. I am 100% certain I could have done better than that. I think I could write a television show. I think if you look at the amount of content I produce on a day-to-day basis, the fact that I've written books, that's a challenge I would like to have at some point in time. But I'm certain, I guarantee you my book that I wrote has more words in it than the six scripts so far for Game of Thrones. I'm not saying I could film them. I'm not saying that I would have any clue how to write a battle scene or anything else. I'm just saying dialogue and plot points, I could have been better than what has been written so far. Who's up next?
Georgia.
What's up, Georgia?
Okay. So they haven't mentioned Essos in a while, and we don't know what's going on over there. So do you think that could be for a reason that we're going to see troops from Essos arrive to help?
First of all, is this Keith, right? Keith has called three straight weeks. He's 14. And I'm seriously sitting around a lot thinking as I watch these episodes, at what age can I allow my sons to watch? I don't think it's going to come down to total number of troops. I think that Varys is going to get involved now in like his Whispers campaign. And I think that the people of King's Landing don't really want Cersei. I don't think they're going to want Daenerys. I think Jon Snow has to be the favorite to sit on the Iron Throne by a massive amount. But I also think that he's probably going to get killed. So I'm kind of thinking that Tyrion or Sansa may sneak their way in as a couple ruling jointly to end up on the Iron Throne. If I were betting right now and trying to take a little bit of a long shot, joint rule between Tyrion and Sansa, I could see as the favorite for who's going to end up on the Iron Throne. Who's up next?
We got a couple callers left. Colby in Tennessee.
Colby in Tennessee, what you got for me?
Hey, Clay. So I think at the end of episode 3, the Night King, he raised the Army of the Dead, but then all of the Army of the Dead exploded when he died. So how then was Lyanna and Ed still in one piece to burn at the start of this episode?
Oh, man, that's a great question. That is a fantastic question. I don't know. I have no earthly idea. You have created a metaphysical marvel in my head. Unless that metaphysically we don't really know, then you turn back to just a regular dead person instead of exploding. And that only the whites were exploding, not the white people, the W-I-G-H-T, and the White Walkers were just turning back to dead people. It's a great question. Final call.
We got Travis in West Virginia.
Travis in West Virginia, what you got for me?
Well, last night's episode was in total shambles. Drove me crazy. Tell me what the hell moments. I don't think it was the best episode of the season. But prediction, they're leaving too many votes. But I think my prediction is I don't think that Arya is going to kill Cersei. I think it's going to be Sansa. She has way too many bad memories, and
yep,
she hasn't really gotten back to a little revenge what she put her through in past seasons.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I don't know if it's just me or if I have almost impossibility of hearing like 90% of the calls that we take, but I think what's going to happen is Jaime's going to go back. He's either going to be killed by Cersei or Euron Greyjoy. Then Arya is going to put on the Jaime mask, and she's going to kill Cersei as she's dressed up to resemble Jaime. That's my prediction for what's going to happen in King's Landing, where we know the Hound and Arya are on the way. We're also going to get the Clegane Bowl between the Hound and the Mountain, and one of them will survive and the other one will die. I think the Hound will survive, the Mountain will die. All right, we're going back into the NBA, NHL, and we got Alex Marvez joining us to talk NFL. All that's still coming in hour 3. That's the Game of Thrones hour. 2 more hours left, 2 more episodes left of Game of Thrones.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.